Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Conscious Thought with Leo on BBS Radio Talk Show. And I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. And actually, tonight I have my two lovely guests back from 4 weeks ago. And I just really wanted to welcome Michelle Szabo and Dr. Dennis Greger back. Welcome, folks.
Thanks, Magdalena.
Thank you so much. Great to be back.
Nice to be back.
I know. I was so excited. I was actually frustrated that I had to cut you off because you were so excited. So you know what? I decided today we will do differently. Okay. I will kind of make sure that I'm not talking too much, but I will give you a stage because you were so excited and I would absolutely love you to continue where we stopped. But first, do you mind just kind of introduce you very shortly, you know, very briefly to the listeners so they know what you're doing and what it's fully about?
Sure, we'd love to.
Awesome.
My name is Michelle Szabo. I am a Reiki master, author, designer. Do lots of different things, but the whole reason that we're on the show here is because of our websites, afterlifedata.com and voicesacrosstheveil.com and afterlifelibrary.com. And those websites focus, of course, on the afterlife because of their name, but also on consciousness, spirit communication, expansion of consciousness, continuation of consciousness, all of those wonderful things. And these subjects are something that Dennis and I have been very interested in for quite some time, and specifically over the last 15 years or so have been doing a lot of research into the area and have started to share that information since about 2007, I think, 2008, something
yeah.
like that, through afterlifedata.com and the work we're doing related to that.
Awesome. That is so pretty awesome. How about you, Dennis, if you don't mind?
Oh, sure. I don't mind. The reason we put up the sites, and by the way, I kind of tag along and follow Michelle wherever she goes.
yeah.
So one of the reasons we put up these sites is that one of the first steps to becoming, you know, self-aware and to truly understand one's consciousness is to realize that we're eternal, and that knowing that there is life after death is kind of a freeing way of living, knowing that you're here for a time on a little vacation on 3D reality, and at some point you're going to be going back home and seeing all the friends that you left behind and that have maybe preceded you. But that's one of the things that are really important for us in terms of being able to present the information and the evidence is to free people up to know that they're here forever, and they have been forever and will be. And there is no
well,
death.
As I'm listening to you board, I'm kind of doing notes, and you know, two things what really strike me here is that when Michelle said about consciousness, expanding consciousness and everything else about consciousness, and you are just saying about the presenting the information, that is so crucial. I mean, it is so amazing to me because, you know, after the show, I mean, when you said that nothing is getting destroyed, that really, I mean, it just triggered a humongous amount of energy in me. It just looked like I just opened up the Pandora box with that. No, I'm serious, because, you know, a lot of time you're just thinking about, but when you start to have this conversation with somebody who did this intense research, and you folks have incredible information in the background, that is amazing to me. And we all came to that, to understand or to agree with that this topic is not talked much about. You know, everybody's so scared about. And what I came to understand is that, you know, when I said to you, know, I just opened up the Pandora, I realized it is not just afterlife. That the impact starts already here in this lifetime. Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. Go ahead.
No, that I'm just looking at you saying, what's he going to say here?
You know, From what I understand is that even the smallest unit of consciousness, which we'll probably never be able to measure with any kind of instrumentation that we have, that nothing gets destroyed in the sense that everything changes form, but the identity of even the smallest unit never gets lost. And when you understand that and you take it up to the levels of these units creating humans or animals or plants, then again, the identity of each person never gets lost. The personality is never goes away, and will continue to evolve and continue to go on into other realms once we get past this one. And this is one of the most elementary of all of them, from what I understand. Yet it is the purpose here at this point to learn how to consciously know or learn to manifest physically those things that we think about and what our beliefs are, because we are basically manifesting everything in our life. And so by knowing that, you go to the next step from being an eternal being to knowing that you actually manifest and change and can change your reality.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And I remember, Michelle, actually, you were so excited to share information. Do you remember actually what was about?
Well, actually, yeah, I want to just take a step back if we could, because
right before
the show, I actually listened to our last show so that I knew where our jumping off point was, so that we
Good
could
job.
Have some confusion with, you know, the last things
yes.
that we said.
Mm-hmm.
So for the people who did listen to the show last time, this will be a little bit of a review. And then for the people who are new to the show this time, it will give them an idea of where we were at and what we're going to be talking about, at least for part of the show. And by the way, in listening to the show, I made all of these notes and I ended up with 3 pages of notes. And it would have been 50 pages of notes. So we really covered a lot of ground. But the thing that we were talking about when we were close to being done last time was this idea of the fact that we're here in this physical reality in order to learn how to manipulate energy. And that manipulation of energy comes in stages. You know, the first stage that Dennis identified was that, you have to understand that you're an eternal being, that you are a non-physical entity having a physical experience here on this earth. And once you've accepted that, then you can start moving toward the idea of consciously creating your reality. You know, you're aware of who you are, how you are and what your thinking is, and then you can take it a step further. And this goes to talk toward, the law of attraction and thoughts are things, which is something that Michael Dooley works his entire teaching around. And then beyond that, the third step being the ability to actually manipulate energy. And the idea that nothing really ever gets destroyed. So, Dennis was addressing the idea of, we're going to war, we kill each other, things get supposedly destroyed. We cut down trees, we do this, we do that. All of these things that seem destructive, but really, it's all energy and it's all being manipulated, and nothing really truly gets destroyed. And once we completely understand that in a fully conscious way, we will put down our arms and we will stop killing each other and, quote, destroying things for no reason. So do you want to go a little bit more on that at all, Dennis?
I think in the last show, I mentioned of the Seth II entity, which was actually a higher energy than Seth. Seth was an aspect of the Seth II energy. And the Seth II energy mentioned that basically we're in an isolation booth. And we're allowed to, with free will, to utilize a massive amount of energy to learn how to use this energy. And so when consciousness decided to partake of this experiment here, it knew there was a possibility that we were going to go to extremes, from, you know, the atomic bomb and...
right now, you know, a huge extreme, you're right.
Right, to using atomic energy for good things. And so that depending on how you use them was going to determine, you know, the outcome. And so in a lot of ways, when you destroy something, it's not really being destroyed. And once you learn that, then there's no reason to use it in the negative, non-preferable way that we have been using it. And according to the Seth II entity, once you know that, you then go beyond. You're beyond the reincarnational cycle. You're here until you learn that. You go through many, many lives to learn that ultimately you're eternal, that you are consciously manipulating energy, and the third step is actually manifesting it consciously. And that's starting to happen. Some people around the world and throughout history, for that matter, but it's happening more often now where you can start manifesting things almost instantaneously. Not quite yet. There's a delay factor in this isolation booth for the purpose of being able to take back something that you want to do and decide that probably it's not a good thing to do it. And so there's a delay factor involved, which is what we call time. But
Don't you think this delay factor is a little good? It's good for good and bad.
I think we need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because for the purpose for both sides, it doesn't matter if something is positive or negative. I think that is the delay factor is actually saving us in a sense, because, you know, in a good sense, it's fine. But if we are going in the destructive sense, that would be a pretty quick manifestation then.
Yeah, because in other realms, thought actually instantaneously materializes whatever matter exists.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So
here we're actually learning how to become responsible co-creators, so to speak. We're actually been given the gifts of the gods where we actually can manifest or actualize our thoughts. But because of the elementary stage that we're in, there's a delay factor, and that allows us to undo something that in another realm would have happened instantaneously.
Instant. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, that I'm recently I'm hearing a lot of stuff I'm reading using the word responsibility and accountability. That, you know, we may not have too much free will, but we have a responsibility about the thoughts and emotions that we are entertaining. And you are just kind of almost confirming that.
Yes, one of the things that we feel is very, very important, and you will find this in a lot of different teachings just delivered in different ways, is to, you know, take responsibility for your own thoughts, your own actions, your own feelings, and don't blame it on someone else or something else. So-and-so didn't make you do something. You know, you chose to perform a particular action based on somebody else's action, but it is still your action. So I think the sooner people recognize that they must take responsibility for everything they do, everything they feel, everything they think, everything they speak, this is why it's important to really choose your words carefully, to be careful when you've become angry about something. Everybody gets angry. You know, people, you know, just get to other people sometimes and, you know.
Especially right now, you know, we have right now finishing the era of Pisces, and we have right now also a Chiron that is a wounded healer in the Pisces. So there's a lot of, you know, Achilles heels that we need to heal here. You know, and of course, you know, people are getting triggered by other people's, you know, practically unresolved shadows and issue in ourselves.
Yeah. You know, I think that's one of the reasons that meditation is so important for people. You know, you can call it prayer, you can call it meditation. It comes by a whole lot of different names. But the idea is to slow down and think about what's going on rather than just reacting to things that are going on all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that is one step to taking more responsibility for your own actions.
I would actually right now have a question to that, because sometimes I'm having actually a hard time when, you know, look like right now, you know, taking responsibility, you know, especially right now when we are dealing with so much challenges and stuff is going on and people are trying to actually take responsibility for it, yet they are getting blocked and stopped by other individuals or organization or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So it's an incredible struggle in that area.
Yeah, there's a whole power and control thing related mm-hmm. to that. You know, if you allow people to take responsibility for things, then you relinquish power and control. And is that a good thing? You know, what does that do to a person's or an organization's position? Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you start thinking in those terms. So it hits at the core of a lot of things in our culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
One of the things, though, too, is that when you start to look at other structures or other organizations or people or, you know, government systems, you have a decision that you can make. If you know that you have the inner power to create your own reality, you can decide whether the other systems, whether you're going to give up that power. And I think that what's happened over the last 300 years in the materialist philosophy that has held sway is that people have given over their power. They've given over their power to benefit systems, health systems, government systems, religious systems, and have lost the, don't know that they can make their own decision. And by making their own decision based on what their beliefs are and understanding by changing their beliefs, they can actually change the system by first changing themselves. And you take small steps. You know, it's not easy to, you know, especially when you're brought up, you know, with the kinds of educational systems that we have and the kind of religious systems and governmental systems where, you know, everyone's looking for what kind of compensation that can be given them or what kind of...
Talking about not taking responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so when you're brought up like that, you tend to not believe in your own power. And so in a lot of cases, you know, you can't just go and say, well, I'm going to, you know, levitate this pencil on my desk, you know, and then it doesn't happen. And then you say, see, it doesn't work. But you start with small things. You know, I when I first started learning the law of attraction, I did what some people, I guess, would consider silly. I used to have to go to New York City once a week. And I don't know if you've ever been to New York City and you try to find a parking spot, it's very difficult. There's like 800,000 cars go through New York City every day, and there's only 400,000 parking spaces. So at times, it would take me 45 minutes, and sometimes I'd end up in a garage having to pay $30-$40 for a few hours that I was there. So I, as a test, you know, and I really didn't know whether I really believed it or not, but I decided, well, you know, if this law of attraction stuff works, let me test it. So the next time I was driving into New York, I said, well, there's going to be a parking spot just waiting for me as soon as I got to close to the destination. And the first time, there was. The second time, there was. The third time, there was. 27 weeks later, I then stopped counting. But 27 weeks, I had a parking spot waiting for me. Sometimes it would be a meter that was broken.
Did you love it?
Totally uncanny. You know, then, you know, from there, you know, so take a small step, you know, just to test it out. You know, if nothing happens, you're probably, nothing's going to be the worst for wear. You'll end up, you know, for me, it would have been, you know, driving 40 minutes looking for a parking spot. But if it works, then you got something to go on. And then you go on from there and you try something else and you try it, you know, and you keep going until eventually you realize, you know, this is real.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that just kind of reminded me when I started to use the Buckflowers 1987, and you know, I was dealing with a huge amount of anxiety, and I didn't want to use medication. I said, okay, let me try Buckflowers, and you know, it worked. And then I was thinking, oh my God, what if it's a placebo? But then I had to convince myself, who cares? So long it works.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because I was just thinking of my experience with, you know, homeopathic remedies and herbs, mm-hmm. and things along those lines. You know, I was brought up very much in the, you know, Western medicine mode. You know, you get a cold, you go to a doctor, right? It gives you a pill and, you know, and hopefully it goes away. You know, that changed for me as I started to learn more about herbs, and I learned more about homeopathic remedies, learning to strengthen your immune system rather than letting it go by eating all kinds of horrible things, so that you don't get, you know, cold after cold, or, you know, mm-hmm. all these other various things that can crop up, you know, headaches and, you know, I mean, there's a whole long list. You know, the next time you have a cold, you know, go out and say to yourself, okay, well, I've got a cold. Well, what's not good for a cold? Well, you know, okay, there's a certain list of foods that when you've got a cold, you know, you don't eat them, and that mm-hmm. helps you recover from cold. You know, there's a whole list of, you know, what would be considered kind of old-time remedies that really will help tremendously. You know, and I have to say, you know, for anybody who's listening, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a healthcare professional. Please don't take it as, you know, some kind of medical advice. But, you know, go out and look for yourself. You know, go explore those things and really start to learn about them and see how you can take control of your own personal health by improving it, by supporting yourself, by supporting your immune system, rather than, you know, letting somebody just give you a pill to try and fix the superficial things that, you know, you're noticing about that particular illness.
There's another level to that, though,
sure.
In the sense that by doing that, you're also saying you believe that that's going to work. And,
yes.
And that will work also for people mm-hmm. that still want to go to a Western health system with all the procedures that are done. If you really believe that, then you have a much better chance of surviving or becoming healthy. The trouble right now, I think, in terms of the health systems, is that it's more, instead of prevention, it's more, it's become a business. Diseases become a business in terms of...
Oh, my God, don't even get me there, Dennis, because, you know, maybe 10 years ago when they started to, you know, well, health and wellness is a trillion dollar industry. It's like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? You know what I'm saying? That's where it puts the reputation. It's like, are you just doing because of the business? So you need people, you need sick people, you need obese people, you need diabetic people, blah, blah, blah. We will never go through the healing because, you know, you will have to sell those products.
Right.
Business.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what I would like to see in the society that we are living today is that instead to make mandatory, I mean, look, like we are dealing right now with the vaccine. They are looking for to, you know, do a mandatory vaccination for everybody, mandatory this, mandatory that, instead to give people options. Because the more options you give people, then we will stop fighting it. Because right now you have this incredible fight between people who wanted to do natural stuff, who really wanted to take care about themselves, who really wanted to know about themselves, and those people who are going to doctors. I don't care if they wanted to do it. I don't have a problem with that. But this is exactly, it's covering what you are saying here that, you know, about the belief system.
Well, you know, when you go into a doctor's office and they... use their equipment, they're looking to see if there's anything wrong. I mean, they're already looking for disease or illness rather than looking for what's right or how well you're doing, they're actually investigating and looking at all the parts to see what's not working correctly. I can't remember what book this came from. It might have been Bruce Lipton's book. I'm not sure. But there was this guy who had an X-ray of his lungs, and they found a spot on his X-ray, and he got so depressed that within 3 weeks he died. And when they were cleaning out his office at work, they found another set of X-rays that were taken 20 years before, and that same spot was there.
Oh my God! Wow, yeah. Wow! But he didn't know about.
Apparently not.
Did he?
No, I don't think so.
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. So that kind of shows you the strength of one's belief system in terms of what the effects can be. When
absolutely, and I think, you know, the medical community a lot of the time are doing they are not helping clients when they say, well, you have maybe 3 years to live, or you have 6 months to live, blah blah blah. Right. They do not give them the opportunity to heal themselves, in a sense, because they are actually, well, your mind will make it happen then.
Right. You know, I mean, if you have some type of a serious illness, I would love to know any doctor that says to you, okay, you've got this, let's say, you know, some horrible cancer, okay? Mm-hmm. The first thing they're going to recommend to you is cut it out, get the radiation, take the drugs, you know, whatever. Do any one of them say to you, we need to change your lifestyle?
Yeah.
We need to see what you are putting inside your body, okay? I don't know very many that would do that. You know, as a matter of fact, in this country, unfortunately, we, you know, go toward the, you know, oncologist, you know, for that particular thing. And it's not to say that oncologists do a bad job. You know, some of them, I think, are truly, you know, they can help. And as Dennis said, if you truly believe in that system, then, you know, that is what will work for you. But how about looking at what somebody is taking in? You know, what is their life like? You know, how stressed are they? How much garbage are they eating? You know, how much are they eating good organic fruits and vegetables? You know, all of those things will go toward healing. You know, and it's not to say that, you know, eating organic fruits and vegetables will heal you, but all of these more positive things are going to help you have a more positive outlook and will prevent things internally from building up and becoming toxic. So, you know, there's an awful lot to be said for, you know, again, going back to our original subject of, you know, taking responsibility for yourself. It, personally, I think the first thing that if they're going to mandate things in this country, stop mandating things like vaccines. Instead, mandate shutting down junk food. Soda. Oh, Pepsi's gonna love this one, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
How horrible is high fructose corn syrup to your body? You know,
and another thing, what I do not want to just kind of support the consumer, because, you know, I am absolutely upset when doctors or other people are saying, well, you are obese, you are not doing exercise, you don't do this, you don't do that, that the line is XYZ long, okay? When in reality, you just mentioned, we are getting fast food, they're producing soda, look at the GMO, look at everything else that is impacting the health.
Yeah. And it's not, Magdalena, it's not just, you know, go out and do more exercise or, you know, go on a diet or things like that. You know, diets don't work. We all know that at this point.
Absolutely. Yes.
It is a lifestyle change, you know, to improve yourself. And that means changing very long-term habits that you've had probably all your life, you know, and that can be difficult.
No kidding. Yes.
The other thing to think about, too, is that in terms of food production and that, the intention behind it. I mean, it's not like the ingredients they're putting in because they know it will produce greater health. Instead, they're doing it in order to cut costs and there's
make
a lot
more
of,
money.
And there's a lot of questionable. So the intention behind the food itself is not for the benefit of those that are buying and eating it. It's for the benefit of those selling it, producing and selling it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a whole different way of looking at it in the sense that you're taking in food for which the intention was not for your benefit, ultimately. It was actually
absolutely
for the benefit of the company. No, go ahead.
And, you know, the reason why I actually, you know, I'm glad that we went in that direction, because remember we were talking on from the beginning, you know, that, you know, this thing are impacting us. And actually, if you're going in the stage three, that you can learn to manipulate energy, you have to educate yourself first what's really going on, so you can actually down the road then learn to manipulate the energy. So remember, we are talking about, you know, this being in this lifetime, in the present moment, is as important, you know, as education about the afterlife.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's all tied together.
Exactly. And this is why I am so happy that we actually spent extra time here on this, just to kind of, because when you see that there's this incredible web, I mean, I can see this incredible web connected from here to there, totally. It's almost, you know, it's almost no separation. It's just a state of mind, even though it's very difficult to even, I understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the reason why I was kind of so passionate about everything here is that, look, like I said to you, you know, when I got triggered by the word, you know, that we are, and nothing is getting destroyed. And so it really put me in the situation because, you know, I am myself in the health and wellness for over 20 years. And what I'm recognizing, you know, when you're working with the clients, you're trying to help them to understand, to see, to recognize and become aware of what's really going on. And what's really going on right now globally, I'm kind of experiencing is that that's almost, you know, from the past lives, what we have those emotions and energies and traumas in our pain body that we are constantly recycling. So what is your input on that? Because, I mean, this is what I'm coming up. It's just, it's insane.
Well, in terms of like past life regressions and between life regressions, mm-hmm. It works. You know, finding out that, you know, your fear of water is because you were in a ship that sunk, you know, in some other lifetime. Sure. But still the responsibility is for taking control of your life now. And even though it's helpful and it does work in terms of being able to get rid of certain phobias and taking care of certain, you know, illnesses mentally in that respect that are bothering you or neuroticisms and so forth. The idea here is that you're in this incarnation, and by knowing that you're an eternal being, you actually have control over this life. And what, you know, I'd love to, you know, do a between life regression and find out past lives, but only out of curiosity. I mean, the idea now is to be able to take control of my own life and to manifest the reality that I wish, and which I'm doing. And I, you know, I've been doing it now for years. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you're not going to run into blocks or into things that look like blocks, but they actually turn into opportunities and they open up other strategies and they allow you to become creative. And it makes life more interesting. If you knew from A to Z what your whole life was going to be, it would be kind of boring. And so
you will just breeze through.
Well, you get some challenges, right? I mean, you want to explore, you want to expand yourself. And so you take routes that you're not quite sure where they're going to end up, but you know that you know who you are. And so you take them joyfully and
see where they go.
And you learn a lot along the way, too. You know,
Did you? Are you familiar with a book from what's the name? Barbara Hand-Claus. She has the book Catastrophobia. Did you ever hear about that book?
I'm familiar with her, but no.
Okay, the reason why I'm asking, because she says, you know, all this Armageddon and stuff, what people are thinking it could be a future prediction. She talks about that. Actually, those are all past life memories.
Oh, yeah, that could be. I mean, there's evidence that there were atomic wars thousands of years ago.
Yeah, I heard about that. That was actually astounding for me.
Yeah, with the burned glass and that in the sand in the Sahara Desert. Yeah.
The reason why I'm actually kind of asking you this question, because my question became, it looked like I was mentioning, you know, a while ago, you know, that we are passing through the age of Pisces and we are moving into the age of Aquarius. And we are, you know, experiencing a different consciousness and we are having a different, you know, experiences. Does that make any impact? Does different ages have an impact on reincarnation? What do you think? Because it has a different vibration and a different lesson. So I was kind of curious, do you have any input about that?
Well, from what I understand, I mean, consciousness has taken different forms of evolvement. You know, in terms of like, quote, the ancient civilizations that a lot of have been capsulized under Atlantis and that they were evolved differently in terms of being able to use energy. I mean, they were big in crystals and various healing techniques that only now we're starting to discover. But yeah, I would say in terms of reincarnation over the course of civilizations that we bring in, and I think what we're discovering now are probably from past reincarnations of the types of uses that we had with energy back, you know, thousands of years ago with, you know, Lemuria or Atlantis or whatever you want to call these ancient civilizations. And I think they're starting to have an impact. People that did not go on into other dimensions back then are coming back now and trying it again and seeing if we can do it differently this time around.
Because it ended up pretty badly
last time.
Yes, this is why actually I am so kind of, you know, when I said to you, you know, this just opened up the whole Pandora box because, you know, everything what I read until now and all of a sudden we are adding a different aspect to it and stirs the whole soup up here, you know. Did you also hear maybe about those incredible places in India? I was just finding out recently that they had a very similar stuff look like they had in Atlantis. Incredible, you know, they're finding underneath the ocean a lot of incredible cities and stuff. So they had an incredible civilization there too.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
They actually found a tremendous city off the coast of Japan, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. I read that about that a few years ago. Yes, I was totally amazed. So this is pretty amazing because, you know, today I was actually listening to Rupert Sheldrake. I don't know, do you know him? And he had maybe 23 minutes audio on what happens when we die. And when he was interviewed by the gentleman, he was talking about the constellation therapy. Did you hear about that?
No. I'm familiar with Sheldrake, but no, I hadn't heard about that.
The reason why, because actually this constellation therapy, I heard right now two or three times, one from my astrologer and another one from a friend of mine from Germany. She was doing for herself, actually, because she lost her daughter and she almost lost her son too. And, you know, this is what she was trying to figure out, you know, does the energy from people who passed on is still impacting people who are, in this dimension. So, and this gentleman, he was talking also about that. It was pretty amazing that, you know, through this constellation therapy, you can actually heal energies with those who are not present anymore.
This is Sheldrake's theory?
That is from the gentleman who was interviewing Sheldrake.
Go on.
on the Rupert Sheldrake site, you will see this audio, and he talks, and one of the audio is what happens when we die. It's 23 minutes, so it's not a big, it's not a long one, but it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. We'll have to listen to that.
Yeah, for sure.
And the reason why it was so interesting to me, because he talks about the same thing. He was talking about the intermediate state and how the intermediate state is related also to our beliefs and expectations. So it was pretty amazing that, you know, he covers the same thing what you are folks talking about.
You mean in terms of the between lives state?
I don't know. I mean, he's calling this intermediate state. I'm sure that what he means with that, you know, in between state when in between the reincarnations.
Right, right.
He talks about, you know, different religions and stuff. You know, if you are this and XYZ, then what is your expectation? What's happening to you afterlife? And, you know, what you believe here, you may experience over there. So it's pretty incredible.
I definitely talk
about. Well, sure. Yeah, there's a lot of theory around that, you know, in terms of, you know, what you expect to happen in the afterlife. You will manifest in the afterlife, just like the guy who.
But, you know, also in the Michael Newton books, where he has, you know, many cases of between life regression, that even the souls there, or the spirits there, are also learning and taking classes, essentially, there on how to manipulate energy. I mean, we're not experts at it. Even after you die, you're not an expert at it. You're still in a learning state, and they actually have various learning curriculums there where you are manifesting and learning how to create different things within the afterlife state. It's not like, you know, it's just done in 3D reality. It's done, you know, beyond space and time.
Well, that's amazing, because actually this is something what you said already, or mentioned, you know, already in the last show. So I find it pretty interesting. Now I will kind of ask you a challenging question. You know, I like that kind of give. What's that?
Hopefully we'll have an answer.
Hey, listen, this is why I love to kind of put a warning I had before I asked the question, because that means, you know, it's asking, you know, to think on a deeper level about. My question is this. I actually read the information that we do not need to die. We can activate higher energies in the body that we have right now, so we can stay in the body. That dying and coming back and dying coming back is actually our old way of doing it. And that the reason why we are dying is because we are rejecting the body. I mean, it was just amazing when I find it out that, you know, we are rejecting the body, because my point is always, you know, being in a healing, that people are not respecting their body the way I would like to see it, that, you know, the body has really huge value, and, you know, what, how are you taking care about? So the question becomes is that, what is your input on that? You know, do we have to die, or do we don't? Because actually I was listening to somebody from Australia also. I think she's from Perth recently. I do not know her name right now, but she was talking also about that, you know, that death is slowly becoming the option, that you do not need necessarily to die.
From what I understand is that...
See, I know it's a deep question.
There's no reason for the lower lifespan that we currently have. That is, we can definitely extend it, but it's necessary for everyone to go through the death transition, only because, remember, the higher self is here for a purpose, for a particular plan. At some point, you know, you fulfill that plan, and there's no reason to stay here any longer. That kind of theory kind of smacks of, again, the fear of death to me. Like, you know, you want to stay here forever in that physical body because you're really not sure what's going to happen afterward. And death is actually one of the easiest things to do compared to like birth, for example. And, you know, once you get over the fear of death, there's no reason why you can't extend your life and have actually a very fruitful and healthful long life, even well beyond the current age limit that, you know, or the current average age now. But at some point in time, you're going to want to go on and do something different.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I totally agree with that. I mean, you know, we are not saying, you know, but, you know, for right now, we have a very limited, you know, time here. And, you know, you are not doing, you know, you cannot do bigger project. And I think that maybe on some level is actually limiting the human potential here, because, you know, we are programmed in the increments. And it's just like, why even bother, you know, because I will die. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, kind of. But I mean, you're also saying that you have a limited time. If you have that belief, then you'll have a limited time. But if you decide that you wish to extend your incarnation for as long as you wish to be here for whatever purposes that you came here to do, then you'll do that. At some point, it would be nice for, you know, everyone to get to the point where, you know, death is basically a goodbye and see you when you guys come back, you know. You know, but there's no real fear, you know. If it depends on, I guess, what the purpose is for wanting to stay for as long as you want it to stay. If you think there's unfinished business, then decide to extend your incarnation.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because isn't that actually also all related to your belief system? If everything is related to the belief system, then that is also that related to it. Don't you think so?
Completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there's a very basic thinking that I see in that type of need, you know, to extend your life. Mm-hmm. And Dennis hit on it a little bit. It has to do with, you know, the fear of death and not knowing, you know, what is coming after. It also comes from the perspective, at least to me, this is what I seem to be hearing, is that, you know, you're first a physical being, and why wouldn't you want to stay here for as long as possible, rather than a spiritual being having a physical experience? It's the opposite. Do you see that?
Oh, yeah, yes, I do, but because I have a question to that.
Yeah, at some point, we should easily be able to communicate with those in the afterlife, even being within 3D reality, without having to even go through mediums and so forth. Everyone has really that potential to be able to do that kind of communication. I mean, once you think of it that way, then basically you're kind of like on a vacation, an extended vacation here, to learn certain things or to evolve in certain ways. And at some point, you're done, you know?
Oh, my God. Dennis, I have to give you a feedback. For just what I just experienced, I'm getting actually a very fast heartbeat. What I just experienced listening to you, and this is amazing, actually. What I realized when you said in the future we may end up to be able to communicate with loved ones, what I just felt, it looked like the veil was gone. Right. There's even no death anymore.
Right.
This is insane. Because, you know, this is so incredible because I listened so much to my relatives, you know, my mom and my sister, when I'm talking over the phone to them. So, you know, I don't see them so much. So I learned to receive picture when I'm listening to the voices. And what I just did here is that when you said something, I all of a sudden had this almost 3D in front of me. It's like, oh my God, the veil is gone. Communication.
Right. I mean, I think that's where we're heading in terms of consciousness. At least that's one of the directions that we could head into, because I think, you know, there, for example, I mean, in terms of manifestation, you know, there were these kids out in China that could make flowers bloom within 15 minutes. You know, there's a shaman that can make acacia trees disappear and reappear. Valerie Hunt in her book, Infinite Consciousness or Infinite Universe, I can't remember the title now. She was caught on a beach in hurricane-like winds and was able to create a vortex around herself and her friend where the winds went around her. I mean, people are starting to be able to do these kinds of things. And once you realize you can do to that extent, then there's nothing to fear about anything. And then you're here to do what you're here to do. And then, you know, you're ready to go. But, you know, there is no death. So, you know, basically it's like getting on a train and leaving. And maybe, you know, you'll take a return trip, you know. But, you know, so in terms of, you know, longevity in that, I think it's totally in what you believe. And you can, like, I haven't been to a doctor in 15 years, you know, and I don't plan on ever seeing another doctor. And as far as I'm concerned, I'll decide when I'm ready to go. And I'll go in a nice, peaceful way, and people will know it, and it'll be a joyful goodbye, you know?
Well, it's kind of interesting, you know, that they're saying that, you know, Carlo Castaneda, they never found his body. He just walked out. And they're talking about also about the Incas. You know, they just walked out.
Yeah, and those are the rainbow bodies of people that have basically vaporized them. So they've left. You know, they decided to go.
Yeah.
Stories like that all over the world.
Well, this is what I wanted to do myself. See, this is what I'm looking when I'm saying that. This look like I wanted to take my body.
Well, you in the between life state.
Sorry.
You can manifest whichever body you've been in the many reincarnations you've been. So it's not like you've ever lost it. It's not going away.
No, it's not going away. Oh, God. Well, see, this is the reason why I was kind of, you know, going in this direction, because my next question would be is reincarnation necessary? And actually, we actually just played out this whole scenario.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a tool. It's a tool for souls to use to learn that they're souls. You know, this happens to be, even though it's, I guess it's an elementary system, it's a difficult one in that consciousness decided to allow massive uses of energy with free will. And it's, you know, we've allowed ourselves to individuate. I guess one of the purposes was to see how far away we could get from source, because there's other civilizations that are still in tune with the fact that they're part of source. We've lost that. I mean, especially over the last 300 years, you know, everything's gone into question. There's doubtful whether, you know, anyone really believes that, you know, God exists or that there is an afterlife, which is why, you know, we brought those sites up, that there is evidence. And I think it's starting to turn around now. And, and people are starting to go back to, you know, maybe there is a God. Maybe there is really a non-chaotic universe, that maybe the universe actually, there's some goodness to it. Maybe things really don't happen by accident, that we're not put upon by outside forces, that maybe we actually do determine our own reality. I think, you know, we're starting to get to that point. And yeah, reincarnations is necessary. We've had to go through, I mean, if you look throughout history, you'll kind of see how consciousness has gone. You know, you go thousands of years ago, and there were many gods, and everyone felt in tune with nature and the universe. But also, there wasn't that individuality that existed when all of a sudden the monotheistic religions started to come into force. And then all of a sudden, there's the one God, and there's, you know, the one soul. And all of a sudden, you know, everyone became individuals. And so, you know, we've gone to, you know, to the extreme on that, where we started to manipulate everything on the outside and then assumed that everything on the outside had some effect on us. And now we're starting to realize that everything on the outside that we affected actually kind of came from within. And so we're kind of going back now.
Yes, going back and forth.
And, you know, we addressed that the last time as well that we spoke a month ago, where, you know, we started talking about, you know, looking within and the concept of the answers are within and not without.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. What I was also looking for to ask the question is that, did you ever actually come across with people or, you know, the mediums that you were listening to or you were hosting? Did anybody came across to talk to somebody who remembers afterlife?
No. In terms of people that have recently transitioned, you really go into the afterlife initially with the same beliefs that you held in 3D reality. So,
okay. Here we are. Okay.
Here with, the fact that they're an aspect of a much larger entity, and, many are not even familiar or even believe in reincarnation. One of the funniest stories I ever heard was, back in Letters of a Living Dead Man, which was written back in the early 1900s, and through this channeled entity, he was saying that he was in the afterlife and they came upon this soul that was basically sleeping. And the guide said, well, he didn't believe there was an afterlife, so he's basically just asleep there thinking that, you know, death is the end, and eventually he'll wake up.
Well, remember, this is how we actually started this whole show, that people do not believe in it. And this is exactly, you. If you listen to Sheldrake, he talks about, you know, this between those two stages, being asleep, you know, in the dream and then in the reality. It's pretty interesting. Yes. Oh, and one more question. Okay, let me see. Actually, we have only 5 more minutes. Let me ask this. Do you have any kind of announcement before we finish the show? Would you like to announce something?
Well, we would love to tell people that we have started our work on a book that has to do with channeling. And information that is coming through and a channel that we are working with from her connection, from her ascended masters. But I'm going to kind of leave it at that. And okay. We will be announcing that probably over the next few months, maybe.
Actually, probably before the end of the month.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So if, you know, people want to hear that announcement as soon as it happens, please go to afterlifedata.com and sign up for the newsletter. As I mentioned during the last show, we usually send out, you know, maybe one a month, maybe a little bit more, a little bit less, depending on what we have to say. But we will definitely announce that and other things that we are working on through that newsletter.
Awesome. Listen, I just heard that we are done, so I have to close it. And I just wanted to thank you folks this was so exciting to have you here back. And hey, don't be a stranger. Thank you so much for being here.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you. And good night, everybody. And thank you for listening to the Conscious Thought with Leo on BBS Radio Talk Show. Good night.